Welcome to the Ike Packers podcast.
Go Pack Go.
Chicago fans saying no fair. Rodgers still owns the Bears.
Go Pack Go.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. Please leave a 5-star review if you enjoyed the show. We're IKE_Packers on Twitter. Welcome back to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. Green Bay knocked off Chicago in a fourth quarter comeback. Rodgers renews his ownership of the Bears. Christian Watson broke a long one. We have a great episode. Big plays on the defense. Let's dive into it. Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back
to another episode of the Ike Packers podcast. My name is Alex Eichstead. I'm your host and Packers fans. Green Bay still owns the Bears. They knocked off Chicago 28-19 on Sunday. It was a December game. It was cold, but the Packers got the job done, scoring 18 points in the fourth quarter. Is that the result you wanted? Because Green Bay is now 5-8, still technically in for the playoffs if they run the table. Or did you want them to lose for pick position? We're going to dive into that. We're also going to talk about general, you know, NFL landscape a little bit, as well as some of the young promising stars on Green Bay. So we're super excited. And I want to remind Packers fans before we kick it off that the Ike Community Toy Drive is officially underway. This is our fourth year doing it. Packers fans, we need your help. If you could spread the word, that would be amazing. You know, all the posts are on Ike Packers. Go to the page, retweet one, put it on your story, tell people about the toy drive, and if you can, please make a donation with us this year. We accept many different forms. We'll make it super easy for you to help and get involved. Just send us a DM for those details. So we have a great show. I'm joined by my co-host, KJ. KJ, the co-founder, welcome to the pod. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Packers fans? I'm actually really excited because, like Alex said, we're in the midst of the toy drive, fourth annual toy drive. Year one, we delivered a pickup truck worth of toys to the kids at Children's Hospital. Year two, we delivered two fire trucks. Year three, which is last year, we delivered the toys in a fleet of 8 Teslas. I don't know what year four is going to bring, but it's going to be very exciting. Like Alex said, we put some posts out on the Ike Network. Make sure to check those out. We're just trying to get it as big as possible, and we've already had a few people donate who've reached out via DM and stuff like that. So I encourage you to shoot us a DM. You can either help via awareness or you can via help via just like donations. Anything helps, and it's going to a great cause for the kids. We, of course, make a great recap video so everyone can see the final result when everything's done. So that's exciting. But what's interesting is that people in the landscape right now in the year 2022 in the current markets are basically saying real estate is something to maybe keep an eye on. And a lot of people are saying that it might not be the best time to buy real estate, and there could be a variety of reasons for that. But one man has given no signs that he's selling his stake in the Chicago Bears anytime soon, and that's Aaron Rodgers, who, you know, firmly renewed his real estate options in the Chicago Bears. He owns them. You know, he's got the deeds. It's Aaron Rodgers Stadium. You know, they call it Soldier Field, but he really plays well there, and he got another win yesterday despite having a broken thumb and broken ribs, partially because of Christian Watson and how fast he is. I'm sure we'll get into that, but you know, man, I could have gone either way into this one. Like, I would like the Pack to win just because I'm a competitor, but I see the value in having great draft picks for next year and just continue to add to the talent on this team. But it does always feel good to win a rivalry game and beat the Bears, so I was happy with the final result because it was an exciting game. Like, the Packers have had pretty, you know, exciting games. They've had boring games, and I would say this one was a little more the exciting side. So what about you, man?
Always feels good to beat a rival. I think that's something the team in the locker room can use as a pick-me-up, you know, maybe a little bonding, get people back on the same page, get everyone working towards the same goal. But on the contrast, I threw out a post when Chicago was going in on the Packers late in the game, and all they had to do was run the football in order to pretty much get into field goal range, you know, win the game. What they ended up doing is they went with a pass and Justin Fields threw an interception. Young rookie quarterback mistake, and the Packers were able to turn that turnover into points on the other end, kind of really open up the 9-point lead, make the game unreachable. And I put out a post saying Bears fans are infuriated right now. And what was so interesting was Bears fans were chiming in on Ike Packers saying, actually just the opposite. We want that number two overall pick. We want that high draft pick. The Bears are now 3-10, and it made me, you know, wonder, Cage. You know, the Packers are 5-8. I think some of the best things from this game were seeing Christian Watson, you know, be explosive yet again. To see AJ Dillon have a pretty good game. He finished with 18 carries, 93 yards. To see 12, you know, of course, beat the Bears is always fun. But in terms of the overall franchise implications of this season, the Packers are all headed towards gray zone. And I think the gray zone is where you don't actually want to be. It's where your team is not a contender for the Super Bowl, but also not really in a position to get a draft pick that can significantly improve your roster, right? How many years, Packers fans, in a row have you been watching our team pick in the 20s and miss out on some of those top-tier receivers that fall in the late teens, right? And
unless
this year,
you get a guy like Christian, obviously.
You get a guy like Christian Watson, but, you know, some of these top-tier receivers, they're going in that first half of the draft. Some of these top-tier talents are going in the top half of the draft. And the Packers, as fun as they want to keep picking outside of these top-tier players, our drafts have not really produced the talent that we need. And maybe that's because, hey, there's not a focus in the scouting, but also, right, we haven't had such high positions. And this is a season where the Packers are pretty much throwing in the towel. I don't know if the Packers can really make this run that, you know, this run the table, 9-8, make the playoffs.
I don't know, man.
Is it possible? Maybe, but
hey, we're
it,
still not eliminated yet. We're still not eliminated,
but, you know, it's like we're headed towards gray zone. And it's almost like the storm, right? The perfect storm movie. Are you going to risk going through the storm here, putting Aaron Rodgers out there on the field, you know, battered and injured? A team like, you know, the Bears didn't really put too many hits on him. But, you know, a good defense or just a bad game for the Packers could result in a lot of hits on an injured Aaron Rodgers. Throw him out for next season. And, you know, the Packers may win a game or two here or there and then end up in this mid-range pick where next year, hey, you know, Detroit leapfrogs us or something like that again. And so that's what I'm afraid of. I think it's something to debate. I overall was very pleased to see Christian Watson just kind of torch the defense. He had one carry for 46 yards. And if you rewatch this play, Packers fans, if you saw it, you were like, he's gone. It was like the first time in a while as a Packers fan that I can make that prediction. He's gone from the first 10 yards.
You're shouting
you see
at the
it.
TV. You're like, you're he's shouting gone. At the
he's got a lane. And Christian Watson, when he gets a lane, can actually make it. And I think that's what's so exciting. A lot of flashes of a young Randy Moss. Who's your comparison? That would be super cool. But Cage, what did you like specifically out of the game? If we don't focus on so much the bigger picture, but just from what you saw out of the execution and maybe some of the players.
You know, man, it actually reminded me a lot that late Justin Fields interception of the Brett Favre interception when he was playing the Saints as a quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Like, all they had to do was just run the football. And they ended up heaving it into, you know, double coverage, ill-advised coverage, and that ended up causing the other team to win the game. So the Packers really got a gift there, but at the same time, you got to salute the defenders for making plays. And not only plays, but just turnover-producing plays. Like, that's big anytime you can do that. Just jolts your defense, everything like that. You know, Jordan Love, I think Rodgers has a level of respect where, you know, he absolutely deserved to start during the Bears game. Like, I think a lot of people are very eager to see Jordan Love, myself included, especially when he looks good. But, you know, maybe the Packers can work some magic here. I'm a little skeptical that we can sneak our way into the playoffs. We're not mathematically eliminated yet. You know, it's interesting. I think I looked at the standings. If the Packers would have lost yesterday, like let's say we would have just lost just for coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? I think we would have been in line for like the fifth overall draft pick, you know, being 4-9. What are we now? 5-8? So now I don't know where we're at now, but obviously we're going to still try and win out because we're not eliminated yet. I would just keep feeding Christian Watson. You know, Romeo Dobbs is going to get back. I think hopefully Christian Watson causes him to be like, well, man, I was this like surefire possession guy, but now I can focus on maybe running more after the catch or maybe getting in the end zone more. Two things Romeo Dobbs had a little trouble doing. Like, we don't, you know, look, like it's great to be a possession receiver.
Two things Lazard had problems doing.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But like at the end of the day, all the difference in the world is made after the catch. You know, if you look at all these talented receivers, Tyreek Hill, Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Justin Jefferson, Deebo Samuel, Christian Watson. It's what separates those guys from, frankly, the rest of the receivers. You know, Davante Adams was an unbelievable receiver, but he would not do much after the catch. Alan Lazard is an unbelievable possession-type receiver, but he barely does anything after the catch. And it's like, you know, that's cool, but when you throw the ball like 20 yards at Christian Watson, or better yet, don't even throw it to him at all and just hand it to him, and he takes it and brings you a touchdown, that's even cooler. So I would just say, like, it's cool that the Packers got their dose of this run after the catch, you know, superpower that comes in the form of Christian Watson. I know we were looking for it all offseason. I was hammering home the point, run after catch. Jameson Williams, look at his yards per reception numbers. You know, Christian Watson, look at his yards per reception numbers as we're analyzing draft prospects. When Deebo Samuel was carving through the league, I was like, the Packers got to get a guy like this. The Packers got to get a guy like this. And so now that we finally have one of those guys, let's keep that same strategy, keep that same energy, and add a second one during this upcoming draft free agency cycle just to give Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers dangerous weapons. Like, look, it's cool to give the guy possession receivers, like maybe Alan Lazard or something like that, or even a Romeo Doubs. But when you have a run after the catch phenom, it just changes everything. Like we saw. So that's kind of what my eyes on going forward the rest of the season. I want to see the defense keep improving, but, you know, hopefully the Packers can either make the playoffs or get a decently high draft pick. But at the very least, I would like to see some Jordan Love.
On the defensive side, I loved seeing Rasul Douglas, Radio Douglas, force a fumble. I think he's a player all season that has stuck out through this turmoil on defense, try to get himself in there to make tackles. I think he's the fourth or fifth leading tackler on the Packers, despite being the third corner, and still making plays, right? Jair Alexander did not have a good game yesterday, but he made a play in the fourth quarter that kind of made up for it. The vital pick on Justin Fields earlier in the game, I was like, Jair's getting burned by EQ. He's getting burned by Harry. I was like, what is going on? But he stuck with it, made a play. Jair is a fighter, competitor. And Quay Walker, the same thing. You know, I love seeing the competition out of Quay, sideline to sideline movement, chasing down running backs, making tackles. He's always around the football. He might not always make the tackle. He still has pretty poor, like, fundamentals when it comes to trying to tackle high, but Quay Walker is always trying to make a play. He's fast enough to get chased down some of these players. It was pathetic, Cage, when Justin Fields broke his 55-yard touchdown run, and I'm watching Devondre Campbell, the guy the Packers just paid $50 million for 5 years, unable to catch him. He was slow. Packers fans, many of you may have been able to outrun Campbell there, and the worst part about it is the guy didn't even dive. You're making $10 million and you're within, you can't even dive. It's like, dude, you pretty much just gave up on him. It was just so sad. It was a defeated play from a guy who hasn't really been playing all year on this team. I was disappointed in that.
Just to add your point, Alex, the game was lost. The game was lost as it was played on the field, and it took like a freak, here you go, like, here's the win. We're throwing it right back to your side, Green Bay. It literally took Justin Fields doing that for us to get the win. And I think if we would have lost again, and it's like a rivalry game, it's kind of like when Illinois beat the Wisconsin Badgers when Brett Bielema came to town as a head coach of Illinois. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Like, we'd had bad losses, but to have the rival come in and do it, you know, that doesn't sit well with anyone. And the game effectively was lost. Like all of this happy tone, all this, you know, hey, let's take on the bright side, let's look on the bright side of it, none of that is coming out of yesterday if the Packers lose and are eliminated. And it literally took the opposing quarterback throwing us a gift.
Then we're talking mock draft.
No, exactly. Then we're talking mock draft. We're talking free agency. We're talking all that good stuff. But, like, the Packers defense lost the game, and the offense lost the game until Justin Fields gave us that get-out-of-jail-free card. So it's like, man, if we'd have lost the game, you might think Joe Barry's gone. The tone would be very, very, very different when it comes to guys like Rasul Douglas, Devondre Campbell, even Jair Alexander. Like, Jair Alexander, when he saw Justin Fields throwing the ball his way, was probably like, you got to be kidding me. What is this guy thinking? He's giving me a chance to redeem myself and give our team the win, you know? It was just something that shouldn't have been made. They're going to go back to the tape.
It was for everybody to get out of jail free card.
And the Bears are going to be like, right here, Justin, right here is when you gave the game back to the Packers. And so, you know, I think it's worth noting that even though the Packers got a win and we beat the Bears, we renewed our ownership on the Bears, like, the defense played bad enough for us to lose, and so did the offense, honestly, until the very end. And that's concerning, Packers fans. Like, Matt LaFleur, it's an ongoing topic of discussion. I don't know. I think we're going to have plenty more to talk about as it pertains to that. But, yeah, you know, the defense, Quay Walker, he made some impressive plays. Kingsley Enagbare, he continues to show, you know, ability. We'll see. You know, we'll see. I like our players. I think they could be a little more disciplined. But the leader of the staff, Joe Barry, not sure.
Well, here's something I want to talk about, because Packers fans, we're starting to see every week more of what this roster, where guys are falling into in their positions, right? Christian Watson, bona fide big play hitter. You want him on the outside running deep. You don't want him running over the middle where he can get injured. And you can do these trick plays with the end arounds on the touchdown that A.J. Dillon had, which is a 21-yard run touchdown. Christian Watson came in this misdirection before the snap, got the fake toss, took a ton of defenders with them, and A.J. Dillon only had one guy to pretty much beat on a 21-yard to the end zone. It was like a free path, and that's the type of plays the Packers need to draw up, and that's the players that are valuable to keep. On the flip side, as I'm watching Alan Lazard, I don't think the Packers need to bring this guy back next year, and that might be a hot take for some of you, but everything I've seen out of him is that he's a very limited receiver,
it's
actually.
It's just nothing special.
No, maybe, like, Sammy Watkins can do good blocks. We saw Sammy Watkins make good blocks yesterday. Blocking is not a reason to sign a receiver, and blocking is also not a reason to draft a tight end in the third round. Josiah DeGuara. This guy, I put out a thing calling him bogus.
A bogus pick.
And a lot of Packers fans are saying, what? He was a good pick. He was a good third-round pick.
Yeah.
But Josiah DeGuara, he had zero catches, zero yards receiving.
He's a non-factor. I mean, if you want to use your third on picks on non-factors, use them on Amari Rodgers and Josiah DeGuara. Those are bogus picks. Enough story. Keep going.
I know. And Packers fans, I just want to say that there's some players I think you're just going to have to be comfortable with letting go after this year. And I'm comfortable with that, because I think this roster needs to kind of be looked at from a, hey, no favorite standpoint. For too long, the Packers have been picking favorites,
true,
and kind
man.
Of petitioning towards these guys. And for me, you have to really look at it as a clean slate. Like, A.J. Dillon, great running back, but really doesn't have that big play explosivity. And he can run a 21-yard touchdown. He can run maybe a 10-yard catch, but he is not capable of breaking a 40, 50-yard burst touchdown like Aaron Jones is, or like some of these other guys are around the league. And that is just something to kind of keep in mind. Maybe you need a more faster third running back, right, when Aaron Jones gets beat up a little bit, because Patrick Taylor also isn't cutting it at the third string running back.
That was interesting. You made a point as you're watching the game, Alex, is when the Packers had both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon on the bench, that's when Patrick Taylor ran in, and Alex said, this could have been Melvin Gordon right now, and then you're feeling good about your third back. That's an interesting point. You know, it's like the Chiefs, they have this great philosophy that one of our friends brought up in the group chat over the week. They just go and sign players. Like, they don't care. MVS, you know, Juju, Smith-Schuster, Melvin Gordon. And guess what the Chiefs also happen to do a lot of? Win. You know, they happen to win even more than the Packers, I would say, over recent memory. So it's very interesting. You know, that was like an opportunity where the point kind of had sense to it.
Well, after a certain while, you need depth to come in and replace. And I think that's what I'm saying with this Alan Lazard take and this Josiah DeGuara and some of these other players, is they're not like, you can find these guys. You can find these guys. Look at what we found in Christian Watson. Look at what the Packers have found in Romeo Doubs. Des Bryant put out that Watson and Doubs are going to be a problem. And I see the same thing. But Doubs doesn't necessarily have the big play threat of Christian Watson. That's where you find those guys at the top end of the draft. You can rotate through possession receivers.
Yeah.
But there's no difference between these guys. It's like, you know, there's a million of them. And I don't think there are any players to hold loyalty to or to pay overpay because the Packers have a big cap problem right now. Yeah. And it's the same thing on the defensive side, right? It just gets so frustrating when you're seeing your team just kind of get exposed against the Chicago Bears and the guy you just paid 5 years, $50 million to, who hasn't played all season, Devondre Campbell, who looked like he was practically injured out there, isn't even going to attempt to make a tackle and go for the shoestring tackle. It's like you pretty much just threw the towel in with 40 yards left to run. And that's not the mentality you want out of a player. There's a dime a dozen linebackers you can find that'll do that. I think, unfortunately, the Packers, again, have now overpaid maybe on some guy who really doesn't have those special characteristics. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Come back next year, Devondre Campbell, and return to your all-pro status, or at least, you know, close to it. Because right now, all of a sudden I see is a linebacker who looks like a shell of his former self last season, who can't even run and catch up to a quarterback. So it's like, what good is that, Cage? What good is that? And, you know, so I don't want to beat it too bad, but Packers fans, here's the question I'm getting to, is I found out that Aaron Rodgers, if you cut him, or if you, you know, trade him, or if you move him, the Packers can actually free up $20 million in cap space. And so how is that $20 million in cap space?
We're going to be having penalties too. Like, we'll have penalties, but either you keep him or you cut him and you have a penalty, but you have 20 more caps, 20 million more. That's interesting, Alex. Why don't you tell everyone maybe just some of the options?
Well, here's an option, right, Packers fans? Then you have Jordan Love, right? You're totally going with Jordan Love. You got $20 million extra to play with a year. And I think you go with
beginning.
One
in
then
the beginning. Then it gets to be a big number.
Then it gets bigger and bigger with each year. And I think in the beginning, you signed one more offensive weapon, you know, $10 million a year, get him a tight end, get him a receiver that's actually solid and can get open so that Jordan Love has Christian Watson. He's got Romeo Dubs. He's got another option and maybe a first round pick with him or second round pick again. On the defensive side, you add another $10 million option on the D-line where the Packers badly need D-line help. And again, giving up 155 yards on the ground, Bears kind of got away from their ground game, but they averaged 6.2 yards a carry. They could have ran it all the way in the win if they wanted, Case, but
I mean,
it's almost
Kenny
like they
Clark
threw
is
to
a
lose.
Serious, he's a serious cap casualty candidate. Honestly,
so
you know,
is
like,
the guy we just paid, Preston Smith. I mean, it's getting ridiculous, Packers fans, because we have a lot of players who are on the verge of becoming bad contracts.
Well, you know who else, man? David Bakhtiari.
I know, and it's just kind of like you don't really need the guy, but, you know, that's a different conversation. I'm just saying, is the $20 million worth moving on from Rodgers? And if you can add one piece on both sides of the offense and defense and then run out Love there, I think it's something to consider. And a lot of people are saying, hey, we can't move him this offseason. But what happens if you get a first-round pick for Rodgers, too? Then you have two first-round picks. Or maybe you get two if you can find a buyer, right? I'm sure you can get two first-round picks for Aaron Rodgers from some team around the league. And then you're looking even better. And maybe next year, Cage, even the Packers come out with a winning record with Jordan Love, and the fan base optimism just changes. It's going to mean a lot more for Love to get to the playoffs than right now. We have this expectation of a Super Bowl, and frankly, this roster is just not going to meet that.
No, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a topic of discussion in the offseason. Like, right now, we're probably going to be rolling with 12, but it's not like even 12 has played good enough to make him untouchable. Like last year of the offseason, he had all the leverage. You know, he did have that untouchable card, and he got a very, very, very leveraged deal in his direction. You know, so yeah, man, I mean like that's certainly a great conversation topic. I think we're gonna be revisiting that more in the coming weeks, in the coming months. But yeah, I mean, right now the Packers, I hope that they learn from this season. I think that that's probably my key takeaway, right? Because we just won a Bears rivalry game, but it's not like it really meant a whole lot because, you know, we're both relatively terrible records in terms of the two teams.
Okay, just but, like the league, whatever the game is between the two worst teams. You know, the Lions have like a better record than both of them.
Not the Shiva Bowl. It's like the other one. Maybe it is the Shiva Bowl. I can't remember. You know, it's like I don't want to see if you have a terrible year and by some miracle there's like a lot of the team returns. I don't want to see the same mistakes being made next year. You know, I don't want to see like an off season not being taken seriously. Like, I don't want to see, you know, bad defensive schemes. I don't want to see our most talented receivers not on the field until week six. You know, I want to see winning Super Bowl quality
football. I don't want to see him blown out week one. Fire him if he happens.
Well, no one wants to see that, you know. And so it's like, look, we've pretty much train wrecked this year. It's still worth paying attention to, of course, but we've really let things get sloppy. I think that's like the phrase I was using for we've let them get sloppy. We need to tighten up shop and do better. Even if we won versus the Bears, we needed to tighten up that game and do better. You know, I mean, I believe we have a bye week coming up, Alex, and then, you know, we have four more games. We'll see. You know, we kind of have like a little mini season within the season here, so. It's always a treat when you have Packers football. We're going to be here every step of the way. We have an incredible toy drive going on. Alex, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
My final thought is, Packers fans, if you had this roster, how many coaches could you imagine would have done better than 5-8 with this roster to begin this year? I think you would have said 90% of the coaches could do better than 5-8 with this Packers roster. I don't remember recalling any predictions in the beginning of the year on Ike Packers where people were saying, hey, we're going to be 7-9. We're going to be, you know, 7-10, or we're going to be maybe 6-11. No, people were thinking 12, 13 wins, 11 wins, worst case. And for some reason, we can't even bring up the discussion, the topic about moving on from a head coach in this organization, which is just so frustrating, because we're going to keep doing it, Packers fans, because a lot of you are with us on this, is there needs to be changes, because this team is completely underperformed. Everyone's going to try and make it like, oh, they were injured, you know, like, let's give them another chance. And we're going to be in the same position next year with just, you know, another blow up on our hands. And I don't see necessarily the changes going forward that require, you know, bringing this coaching staff back. I really still think they got to find an exit strategy. Maybe Murphy is hopefully working on that in the background. Should the Packers also move on from Mark Murphy? Write us in. Let us know what you think.
Let us know.
They need a clean house still. This is not a roster, and this is not a standard we should be okay with, Packers.
No,
fans.
It's so interesting, because we should have lost the game. Like, the Bears beaten, and then he just threw the interception. So it's like kind of like the tone's positive, but man, if we would have lost, it would have been like thunderclouds today, Packers fans. Think about that as you're listening to any form of Packers content this week. If Justin Fields wouldn't have handed us the game on a silver platter, there would be dark storm clouds across Packers Nation today.
It would have been so brutal, but the draft pick would have been higher. So that's the trade-off the Packers are getting themselves into. We're entering the gray zone. I want to thank everyone for listening to today's podcast. If you have any questions, or if you want to get involved in the toy drive, just send us a DM for details. We always welcome hot takes in there as well. We'll banter back with you. The toy drive is our number one priority. Winning a Super Bowl is right there with it. And we're going to be there for you every stop of the way. Yep. So Packers fans, thank you again for tuning in. And as always, go Pack go.
Go Pack go forever.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Ike Packers podcast and want to help the show, please subscribe, tell a friend, and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. This is how we can continue to give great value to you. As always, till next time, Packers fans, go. Meet me by the field where we left off.
take a